We live in an instant society. We want instant results. We're expecting that if I do this, then immediately this is going to happen. If I place my order at the window, then, 30 seconds later, my order is going to be up ahead. And so we have that kind of mentality in our Western thinking, isn't it true? And God's not in a hurry, and God does everything perfectly in His time. And we need to wait on Him, because if you get things when you think you should have things from God, it may mess you up. If you haven't been proven to be faithful in little, then He's not going to give you much, because He doesn't want it to mess you up. He doesn't want it to, amen, to go to your head, and you get proud, and you forget the Lord, your God, who brought you out of bondage. So we're going to talk about the wilderness, the way through the wilderness today, because I don't know about you, but everyone must experience the wilderness. How many like being in a dry place? How many like being thirsty?
Whoever says that's lying.
Did I hear an amen over there? You can tell when somebody's not listening, right? Sometimes we go on automatic. We're like, amen, amen, amen. And then you say something stupid and they go, amen. Because they're not listening. we put in an autopilot sometimes. It says, hey, amen, amen, amen. What time is my roast going to be done again? I'm hoping you're listening today. But we want to talk to you today about the way of the wilderness. It is absolutely necessary that every believer experience time in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness where we truly learn how to trust God, where we truly learn that He is faithful, where we truly learn that He is our all in all, that He is our protector, that He is our provider. Amen? That the Lord Himself is our life. He is our sustenance. It's in the wilderness. And interesting enough, as I was even working on this last night, I felt like I was in a wilderness. How many of you have ever had the experience where you've done all the right things, you prayed all the prayers, you sang all the songs, and you just feel like you're just so dry? Amen. And so empty. And that God, where is God? I see some honest people nodding their head. Yes. Nobody is so spiritual in here that you haven't been there. And if you think you're that spiritual, guess what? You're heading for the wilderness. Because you need to learn that it ain't about you, but it's going to be because of Him. That grace is not the grace we give ourselves, but it's the grace we get from Him. His grace is sufficient. Not my grace for myself. But I need Father God, I need Papa God to tap me and say, well done, son. We don't have to prove ourselves to man. Amen?
Amen.
What matters is that our hearts are right before God. And that whatever we do is out of purity of heart unto the Lord. Without any strings attached. Without any hidden agendas. James chapter 1 verse 2 says this, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Everybody says produces. What does the testing of our faith do? It produces something. How many like to be productive? Now, we want to be productive, but sometimes we don't want to go through the process to become productive. We want to be productive without the process. But God's going to take you through a process because He wants you to be productive. He has to take out the pruning shears. And He has to cut some things out that are hindering you from becoming more fruitful. Amen? And so there is a process to be productive. knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, long-suffering. It creates a steadfastness in us, an ability to stand. Even though the storms of life may assail us, difficulties will come. You will find yourself in dry places. You will find yourself in times of temptation. But God is the one who brings stability. He's the one that brings strength. He is the one who will keep you, amen, through those difficult times. And in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those temptations at times and tribulations, God is revealing to you and to me that He is the one who is in control. That He is the one who will provide. He is the one who will protect. He is the one who will take you by the hand and lead you through that barren land. Why? Because God has got something glorious up ahead for you. And in order for you to be ready for what He has, you have to learn some things before you can get there. There's a process. And so the wilderness is not something that is optional for a believer. It is something necessary to wean us off ourselves. God has to wean us off depending, relying on just our own wisdom, our own understanding, on things that we can put, you know, in our box and predict. We are to walk by faith in God. You don't learn to walk by faith by having everything planned out in your planner, by having things always go the way that you think they should. God had to take Israel into the wilderness to teach them that they cannot just, you know, lean completely upon their own means. They were not they had to learn that man shall not live by bread alone, by natural provision or natural things or a natural life. But God wanted to bring them into a place where they would be able to understand that God Himself has it all. Everything they need is in Him. Because what happens is we make gods out of things very quickly. And God knew that if these people had not been conditioned for the blessing, when they got into the blessing, they would begin to worship the blessing. And they were given warnings when they came into the land because of that very reason. And so the wilderness is not something that is optional. It is necessary. But the fruit of it is so wonderful. We look at people and we marvel at men and women of God and we say, boy, I want what you have, but do you want the process that they went through? You know, we just hope that if I just come up and they lay hands on me, they're going to get everything I got. And no, no. God wants that character developed. He wants you to be a steady person. He wants you to be a reliable person. He wants you to be a trustworthy person. Amen? He wants you to be a person of integrity, a person who will stand true to their word. What you say and what you do are in alignment and agreement. Amen? We need to be holy. And so the wilderness is necessary for God to get us into position for His greater work. Anoint us, Lord, we say, for greater things. Do we really want God to anoint us for greater things? Then buckle your seatbelt. And He loves us so much because what He has waiting for us, folks, is so far beyond what we comprehend, are able to comprehend. But God sees it. And so what we need to do is learn that in the wilderness, God is actually doing a work in me. He's doing a work in you. God is getting you ready for something great. When you're going through trials, when you're going through difficulties, it's a good sign. It's not a bad sign. It's a good sign. So everyone's going to experience the wilderness. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. And now listen, the wilderness is not supposed to be a permanent place either. It's a transitional place. That's why in the Feast of Tabernacles they celebrated their wilderness wanderings and they erected temporary dwellings because they were not to camp and put their roots down too deeply. Amen. They were not to become permanent fixtures in the wilderness. They were to move quickly. When the cloud moved, they were to move. Amen?
Yeah.
And so what happens sometimes is people can get comfortable in the wilderness. It's called apathy. It's called complacency. Ain't nothing happening. God's not going to do good, and He's not going to do bad. I'm just going to kind of stay here in neutral zone. I'm getting comfortable to my little shack in the wilderness. Now, we're not talking about physical prosperity, but it could be. We're talking about spiritual prosperity. There has to be a time where you learn that God is faithful.
Amen.
So that you will be able to handle what He has up ahead for you. If you don't go to first base, you're not going to make it to home base. There are certain rules, amen, that we have to follow. And it's not the rule of the law, it's the rule of the Spirit. The Spirit drew and led Jesus into the wilderness.
Yes, yes.
After that great experience, it was a mountaintop experience, amen, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit coming upon Him in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father validating the Son, saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And immediately it says the Spirit led Him. Who led Him? The Spirit led Him. Where? Into the wilderness to be tempted. Wow. 40 days and 40 nights. And I don't think there's a person here that has had the experience that Jesus had in the wilderness, by the way. But He's our high priest and He's faithful. And what He needed to do is He needed to defeat the enemy in that place of the wilderness. Amen? To secure redemption for us. He had to remain pure. He had to be without sin. He had to fulfill the requirements. And where Adam had failed, Jesus fulfilled. So that He became our high priest, amen? A sinless, spotless lamb. So that He could pay the price for our sins. So it was God's plan for Jesus to spend time there. And the wilderness was also necessary for Jesus to return in the power of the Spirit. Now see, we want power, you know, and we need to ask the question, why do you want power? So you can look good, or you can make Jesus look good.
Jesus.
Right on. But we need to ask ourselves that question whenever we ask God for something, right? Why do I ask for this? Why do I want this? But it was necessary for Jesus. Amen? And the wilderness is necessary for us. If we want a greater anointing, a greater authority, we're going to have to go through some things to be something. Amen? Nobody likes going through the wilderness, but if you understand God's dealings, the way that God deals with us, you don't know that He's always got good intentions.
Yeah.
God is good all the time. He loves you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And He wants what's best for you. And sometimes He just has to take us to a hard place to wean something out of our lives that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to get this junk out of us, amen, that would hinder us from being everything that He intends for us to be.
Yeah.
So difficulties will come, yeah. How many of you ever saw that special, the man who was alone in the wilderness up in Alaska?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I can't see myself ever doing that, especially for the length of time that he did. But it would be kind of neat, maybe for a short time, go on a weekend or something, you know, be able to fly back to the Hilton. Or But I thought about, you know, that kind of, when I was doing this, it kind of popped into my head, alone in the wilderness. It's the title of this presentation. So, how many know that Jesus was alone in the sense that there was nobody else around Him in the natural?
Yes.
How many have ever found yourself alone, even in a crowd?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody seems to know what you're going through. Nobody knows what's going on in your heart. Nobody knows your experience, but God knows it.
Amen.
And God is with you in that time.
Yes.
And yet there's times we find ourselves just feeling so like secluded, or even maybe sometimes it's just in our minds, but we feel even rejected by people. Yeah. Jesus was despised and rejected. But for the joy set before Him. For the joy set before Him. He looked beyond the temporal inconvenience. He looked beyond the temporal discomforts. He looked beyond the temporal thirst, amen, and the hunger,
yes, yes,
and the loneliness, to something that was up ahead that Father God was drawing him to. And when he came out of that wilderness, he came out in the power of the Spirit. And he began to declare, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
And he began to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Amen?
Yeah.
Even raise Lazarus from the dead. And so you and I are to take up our cross and to follow him. And by his example. And so when you are finding yourself, and some of you today are in that place, it's not a bad thing. It's a God thing.
Amen.
You go deeper. A shrub in the desert has to go deep.
Yes, yes, yes.
It has to go deep to receive moisture.
Yes, yes.
But it's a strong... Have anybody ever been to Yakima and tried to pull one of those shrubs out? You don't just pull those babies out, I want to tell you. I've tried that. Then things are in there, man. They're grounded. They've had to endure harsh conditions, sun and wind, heat, cold. But they're strong. But God has called us to something greater. Sometimes you may feel like a shrub in the wilderness. But God wants to take you into a place of abundance. Is it not God's plan for Israel? Was it not his plan to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey?
Yes.
You see, that's God's intention for you. It really is. That your soul may flourish and prosper. That you may be a well-watered garden. That you may be a tree of life.
Yes.
That people are going to be able to come to you and pick the fruit,
yes,
of the love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and the goodness and self-control. And they're going to be able to find stability. And they're going to be looking for an example of Jesus on the earth. Because Jesus has gone away and he's given you and I the commission to go and represent him. People need to see Christ in us. In order for them to see Christ in us, we have to also follow in his footsteps. And we have to go through the time of the wilderness. So that we'll be prepared for the greater anointing, the greater glory that's up ahead. For the what? For the purpose of exalting him. And making him famous. And people will say, ha! Huh, he is the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. That was the opening statement. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Let's take a look at this. Moses has given instructions here because he knew what was in the heart of men. God knows what's in the heart of men. He knows that we are weak. All of us, folks, apart from Christ, are weak. We're weaklings.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how buffed you are in the natural. God wants to strengthen you internally and make you bold. Amen. Make you strong. Make you steadfast. Beware, he says, that you do not forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. And listen, verse 14, when your heart is lifted up. You see, God needs to get us into a place where we can be trusted. And unfortunately, Israel had to continually go around in circles, didn't they? Because they were not getting it. They were not passing the test. Folks, it's always easier just to say, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. However you want me to respond to this situation, I'm going to respond your way, not my way. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. What was he doing? He was teaching them that I'm going to take care of you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know. It was a new thing, a strange thing, something they weren't familiar with. He pulled them out of all their traditions. He pulled them out of the predictable place. He pulled them out of that which they had been doing for so many years, where they had kind of gotten complacent even in bondage. There's some people, there's some Christians that get complacent in bondage, by the way.
Absolutely.
They just resolve to stay in bondage.
Believe the lie, that's how you do it.
God wants you free.
Yes.
Folks, if you're bound with anything today, today it can be broken off your life.
Woo!
Right.
Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Today the Lord is here. Today the Lord, the kingdom is at hand.
Yes.
If you're dealing with something today after we close, come on up and we're going to pray that thing right out of you.
Yes.
God can do it.
Oh.
He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good. To do you what?
Good.
In the end. This is the problem. We want everything now. We want to go from 0 to 100 without going through the in-between part. We want instant gratification, instant satisfaction. But God takes you through a process. And the process is not always easy initially. But what we do in the wilderness is we learn that Jesus is with us, that his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. We learn how to find rest in God alone, not in therapy alone, not in dope or alcohol alone, but we find rest in God.
Yes.
He is able to lift you up into a place that will guard and keep your heart and your mind. God wants you free. God wants you free. He wants to break every chain.
Yes, yes.
Every chain.
Yes.
And so God was had tested them to do what? To do good in the end to them. Folks, this is a word for you today. God wants to do you good. God wants to promote you. He wants to advance you. He wants to bring you into a place of fruitfulness. He wants to bring you into a place where you are just terrorizing devils wherever you go. And we do that through humility, by humbling ourselves, amen? And submitting ourselves to God. And that means submitting ourselves to God means that when God is allowing something to happen in our lives, we submit ourselves to God. And we trust in God. And we say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you, and I know you always do things for my good.
Yeah.
And I know on the other side of this, something good is going to come out of it.
Yeah.
Folks, the things that God has done in my life did not always come easy, and he's not through with me yet. But I want to say something, that where I'm at today is because God has been taking me through a process.
Yeah.
He's been taking you through a process.
Amen.
And again, it's that he might be glorified.
Amen.
That the world will look and see that is a tree of life. That is a tree of righteousness.
Yeah.
And I want the life that they have. I want that peace. I want that joy. I want that life. And so Jesus endured the wilderness. And he overcame the devil by standing on the promises of the Father. He stood on the word of the Lord. Amen. When he was tempted. And the devil tried to simply just get him to do what he wanted him to do. I mean, how many know the devil knows how to work on your lusts? Sometimes he wants to dress up what his agenda and make it look like it's God's agenda to get you just to simply listen to him.
Well, he's good at that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a liar, not
that. No. And so, if we're not careful, you know, we can really get stuck in this wilderness place. God doesn't want it to become a permanent dwelling. Now, how we handle the wilderness will determine how long we're going to stay there. It's always easier just to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Come on now, because sometimes, you know, we can get into those cranky moods, those bad places where we start. I don't know why I looked at Judy when I said this, but I'm just kidding.
She's...
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at my reflection in her eyes. I don't receive that, right? But I'm sure there's somebody beside myself in here that has been cranky. I'm sure there's somebody beside myself in here that has got caught up in the grumbling and complaining thing at least once.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I hear that. You're an honest person. God hates it. God hates it. Why? Because it's really unbelief. When we start grumbling and complaining, God, why this and God, why that? We're not trusting Him. We're not believing that He has good intentions for us. So be very careful, because the wrong response to whatever happens to you can keep you in the wilderness. But the right response can get you out of it. How many have ever heard the statement, change is the constant companion of progress? Change is the constant companion of progress. God wants you to progress. But there's a process to bring you into that place where you are productive. And that's why James is telling the church, listen, guys, if you're going through it, count it joy. Because he saw beyond the temporary discomfort. He saw beyond the trial. He saw beyond the temptation. He saw beyond the difficulties. And boy, if anybody was an authority about difficulties, it was Paul.
Amen.
Amen. But James said, count it all joy. How many know those guys all had a difficult time? All those disciples had a difficult time. I believe the only one that didn't die a martyr's death, and then that's debatable, was John. They tried to boil him in oil, and they couldn't kill him. But there was something that they saw beyond the temporary that motivated, that drove them, and it was called the love of God. They were motivated by His love, but they also saw the joy that was set before them as well. They knew God. They knew His heart. They knew His character. They knew that He was good all the time. They knew that they were His kids, and God was going to do something really special for them. And if God's kids suffer in this world, guess what? It means you will also reign with Him someday. So if you're suffering in here, and you're not suffering because you did something foolish, but because you're obedient to God. Tonight I want to talk about Joseph. I believe that's where we're going to go tonight. But Joseph did everything right and suffered for it. Jesus was the only perfect man that walked the planet, and they crucified Him. However, there was something that was awaiting Him, and it was beyond anything that He had experienced in this world. And I want to tell you what it was. It was His love for you and me that put Him on the cross. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down for my people, for my sheep. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave up, amen, Jesus, His only begotten Son. God's not going to promote us until we pass the test. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says this, but with most of them, speaking of those in the wilderness, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. He's speaking not to the unbeliever here, folks, but He's speaking to the church. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Where was it, folks, that their bodies were scattered? It was in the wilderness. It was in the time of testing. The purpose of the testing was to promote them and to bring them into the land. It was to qualify them for what He had up ahead. But it was in that place, folks, where the rubber met the road, where God was testing and proving them so that he could bring them into the place. But with many, it says God was not pleased and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Why? Because of unbelief, because they begin to complain. They begin to disbelieve God's good intention. They begin to grumble and complain at Moses. They begin to grumble basically at God. They said, wouldn't it have been better if we had just stayed in Egypt? There are people who begin this journey. They put their hand to the plow, but they look back. And Jesus said, if you do that, you're not fit for the kingdom.
That's right.
But there are those who begin the journey, and things begin to get difficult. They find themselves in the wilderness. This is where it's going to be proven. Amen? If you're going to go on, or if you're going to say, I want to go back. How many know that you cannot go back? It's impossible to go back. People try to go back, and it's worse for them in the end. You cannot go back, and you cannot stay still. You cannot go back, and you cannot remain neutral. We must move with God, move with the Spirit, put ourselves under His authority, submit ourselves to God, know that He's working out a plan in our lives, because at the end, it's going to be better, amen, than it is now.
Amen.
To do you good at the end. So here, He's given a warning. But exhort or encourage one another daily, verse 13, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. If you hear His voice, listen. God is speaking from heaven. God is speaking to us by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. If He's speaking to you, listen. Do not harden your hearts. If you do, you will be scattered in the wilderness, and you'll never go into the promise of God. It's time to quit looking back, quit complaining, and say, thank you, Jesus. I know you love me. I know you're for me. I know you have greatness up ahead for me in my life. I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm going to put myself under your authority.
Yeah.
And when we do that, the time will come, hallelujah, when you're going to see the promises of God come to pass. In Hebrews 11, it talks about many who in their lifetime they had not seen the promises of God, but they walked by faith. And today, Abraham's fruit is still abounding. Amen? We're recipients of that, hallelujah. So five positive responses to the wilderness. Number one, be thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanksgiving is huge. If you can't get to the Thanksgiving thing, man, nothing else is going to work. You need to, in all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks, for this is the will of God,
amen,
all right, in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving, praise, presence. Thanksgiving, praise, presence. What you need is His presence. When you start out with thanksgiving, and in all things you're giving thanks, it produces praise. Praise, amen, brings His presence. He inhabits praise. And you need His presence in order to overcome. You need His presence in order to pass through. You need His presence, amen, to go before you. You need to be able to see that God is there by eyes of faith. As long as the cloud had settled, they were to settle. But when the cloud of glory had lifted, they were to follow. Amen? Focus, number two. Focus on fixing the problem, not blaming others. Ouch. We need to fix the problem. Amen? Don't focus on others as being the problem, even if they are. I have learned that even well-meaning people at times step on my toes, and sometimes not so well-meaning people attack me. But I have to shift away from the person, and I have to understand that God is working something in me, that through this, if I handle it right, I'm going to go to the next place.
Right.
I'm going to be able to move ahead with God. If I can't get past offense, then I can't go anywhere. So we got to pull them darts out right away and say, no, I ain't going to have any of that. I bless you. I pray for you. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to have that person in your life.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
Some relationships need to be
broken.
Yeah. But you still love and you pray for and you bless.
Yeah.
And you keep that thing from getting down in your spirit and making you bitter. Why? Because God wants to give you a better end,
yeah,
not a bitter end.
Amen.
So we need to focus on fixing it and not blaming others. You know, the government. It's the government's fault. If the government would just do this, if my parents had only done that, if my husband or my wife was like this, I wouldn't have the problems I'm having. Do you know that there's no way that you need to allow somebody else's problem to become your problem? We don't need to allow anybody else's problem become our problem. We want to help people with their problems, but don't allow their problem to become your problem.
Amen.
Don't allow someone else's bad attitude, amen, get on you. And again, it's gonna mess you up. And what you need to do is you just need to say, sorry, not going there. And can I give you a little advice? Don't hang out with people with bad attitudes.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a temporary bad attitude, but a person who's just a bitter person and doesn't have anything good to say. Don't hang out with people like that, because you can very easily become like that person.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Because you're receiving something from them. And so, yeah.
You don't want those things.
But the bottom line here is, folks, sometimes you're in a situation that you can't get away from somebody that might be a problem. In a case like that, you have to determine in your own heart, in your own spirit, that I'm not going to allow that problem to become my problem. Just keep it up. You know, you may have to put the hand up and say, speak to the hand, you know. But do it in love. There's so much here. You know, I don't know if any of you have studied the life of Joseph, but those of you who have, I don't find anywhere where Joseph complained. I don't think he did. I tried to find that, and I don't see anywhere where Joseph complained. And yet Joseph had every reason in the natural to complain. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but we see an example of Christ. How many know that Jesus never complained? He was not a complainer. And so, even if someone causes a problem, folks, don't waste your time blaming them. Isn't that what the enemy wants anyways? He just wants you to get all wrapped up in the drama. It's not go there. Thirdly, don't look back. You can't go back, and you can't stay here. You got to go forward. They said in Numbers 14 and verse 3, wouldn't it have been better for us to return to Egypt? You know what? Dwelling on the good old days has caused many of us to miss out on today's opportunities. We cannot live in the past. Dwelling on the good old days has caused many of us to miss out on today's opportunities. Ecclesiastes 7:10 says, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such questions. Oh, the good old days. I hear some older saints, and God bless them. They are the matriarchs and patriarchs, are the foundations. Amen. We bless them. And I'm not, if I look at you, it doesn't mean that necessarily you said this. But we can sit around, and even my, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm getting up there. And now I'm starting to find myself sometimes just looking, seeing the hourglass is farther behind me than it is ahead of me, you know. There's less sand on the top than there is on the bottom, so. And you can start looking back and saying the what ifs and why. Boy, I remember that time. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? And you hear some of the old saints talk about the old days of Pentecost, you know, and the fire of God fell in that place, and whoa, the Holy Ghost, and you know, and good things are happening. And it's okay. That was then.
Right.
And it was wonderful. However, the cloud has moved. And we're in a new time and a new season, a new generation. And God is taking us into new territory. And He's going to continue, if you follow Him, take you into new territory. How many want to go with God? Into the new thing, into the fresh thing that He's doing. Now we can look back and say that's good, that's foundational, that was pivotal, there's a heritage there. However, we take from that and we also apply what God is doing in the now, amen, and we develop into a mature believer. So don't say the good old days are better than these. Because what's happened, folks, is some of the old timers, unfortunately, have missed out on the new move of God because they're stuck in yesterday. And they sit around, they talk about the good old days, and they don't realize that God has not stopped moving. We do. So we need to be careful that we don't stop moving. When God is moving, we're moving. When He's settling, we're settling. But don't get comfortable in that place of settlement. All right, almost through. Fourthly, never give up. Never give up. Good illustration, I've used it before, but fleas in a jar. The experiment was done, right, with fleas in a jar. Put the lid on, you put a bunch of fleas in there. They keep, you know, they fly around in there and they bump their heads on the top of that lid. And after a while, they begin to say, hey, I'm getting a headache. And they start to realize that I better not go above this point. Or I'm going to hit my head. And so then they take the lid off. And the fleas continue to stay in that jar. And they don't go anywhere. Sometimes that's what happens to us. Is we hit our head a few times. And then we use that as a standard. As the watermark of our experience. And we don't go beyond that. And God's already taken the lid off. There's an open heaven. He's saying, come on out. That was only for a season. It's time to come out now. You learned some discipline there. Now it's time to fly. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we place boundaries on ourselves based upon past failures, not realizing the lid is removed. A lot of folks get into that place and they don't go any further. They want to stay in a place of predictability where it's comfortable, where I'm in control. And God is saying, I want you to fly. It's time for you to fly. Aren't you glad you're in a church that has an open heaven, that we believe that God is alive and He's doing new things today? Amen. And we can pursue Him. There's no limit. The sky is the limit. Amen?
Amen?
And so when we worship, we don't put a cap on it. The lid is off.
Hallelujah!
I was born to soar. We are eagles. We are to soar with the Lord. We are not to be controlled by the opinions of men. Amen? We're not to be controlled by the traditions of men. We're not to be controlled by the traditions of way that we've always done it. We need to be open to what God is doing. And He'll never contradict this word, by the way. Let me just put something in there. So Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due time, in due season, you will reap.
There it is.
Fifthly, finally, believe God's promises. Don't lean on your own understanding. The wilderness has a purpose. The wilderness is good for you. The wilderness is getting you ready for greatness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. When we're thankful and we rejoice, even in the dry place and the uncertain place and the new place, God says, now there's someone who believes me. And if they can believe me in this place, then I know I can trust them in that place.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Almost finished. John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope.
Yes, yes.
Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When we find ourselves in the wilderness test of life, that's the place, folks, where it's going to be determined whether we're going to go to the new level. Amen? The next level. And I don't believe we just have one wilderness. There's many. But each time God takes you higher, He takes you in a new place. He's able to entrust you with a greater authority in the Spirit because you've been proven. Hallelujah. You become user-friendly.